This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
This is your current affairs program, The Rainbow Report, on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. I'm Doug Pollard with you for another magazine of news and current affairs. And the major talking point this week is elections. As I said, we always like talking about elections. State elections in WA bring to power a Liberal government, at least by its fingernails, and also some very anti-gay fundamentalist MPs. In Sydney, however, we had some council elections around New South Wales. We also had a change of government, and Clover Moore got back as the mayor. There were a lot of pink issues in that election, and in New South Wales, at least, it all went our way. And there was also a little election in the Liberal Party, otherwise known as Malcolm Turnbull, with Brendan Nelson rolled by the charismatic, ambitious member for Wentworth, which just happens to be the gayest constituency in the country, encompassing Sydney's Oxford Street. And as you heard in the news, we also have news coming out of the Senate from Attorney General Robert McClelland. We'll be talking about that as well. To look at all these events, we've got Senator Brian Gregg over in Perth, Harley Dennett up in Sydney from the Sydney Star Observer, and with me in the studio our regular activist and commentator, I think it's fair to say.
Activist, I don't think. Advocate.
Advocate, all right, you can be an advocate then, Corey Earlham. And as usual, I have to, can't all do this by myself, so I have a guest to give me a hand tonight, Cathy Anderson, yet again. Hello, Cathy.
Good evening, Doug. How are you?
And sitting in quietly on the other side there, we've got Scott Bradford. We might ask him for a word or two, too.
I'm sure I can give you a word or two.
He's champing, just, champing at the bit, I can see.
Just keep them clean
Bring
ones,
it on.
Please. Yeah, yes.
Informing, entertaining and provoking, this is The Rainbow Report.
And we'll kick off tonight with Corey. We'll throw you in the deep end here. You're going to Canberra next week, and you're very happy about the news that's come out of Canberra, aren't you?
Yeah, look, at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Attorney General, Robert McClelland, announced that he'll reform the Family Law Act and recognise same-sex parents equally with opposite-sex parents.
Now, this is part of the 58 laws, etc., that HRIOC identified, the Human Rights Commission identified, isn't it?
Yeah, but unfortunately, for some reason, they hadn't been done to date, even though a number of bills had been introduced. There was probably some sticking points and things that needed to be considered and factored in politically. He's bit the bullet, he's done it, and now it's just about getting it through the opposition. So
yes, I was going to ask about that one.
Well, look, we're calling on Turnbull to protect children of gay couples. It'll be interesting to see what he says. This is part of the reform that HRIOC recommended. It does go a little bit further because it recognises surrogacy, but let's see what Turnbull says. I'm really interested to see whether people out there have been paying attention to this. This has been going on for over 10 years. So,
well, give us some examples of what this will mean. I mean, we talk about surrogacy and parenting rights,
yep.
It's all very kind of general. What specifically will it improve for a same-sex couple and their children?
When two people break up and they go to the family court to get access to their child and divide the time that they spend with that child, currently the non-biological mother is not recognised as a parent and has challenges in getting equal access, equal time.
Right.
Now, by recognising her as the parent of that child, she'll be able to get equal access, and the person who's staying with the child, who's being the primary carer, will now be able to automatically get access to the child support scheme, which is really important in ensuring that inequality is removed.
Is that a federal law to do? Because isn't there some issue about what rights you have at the state level as opposed to, you know, children and parents going on birth certificates and that type of thing, and as well as access to the family court?
Yeah, it's a really complicated part, Cathy, where you sort of go, there's the Family Law Act, which is a federal law, and it's the parenting presumptions in that Family Law Act that are referenced in the Child Support Act.
Right.
But within that Family Law Act, it also relies on certain state definitions. So it's a little bit of a patchwork quilt.
But it sounds like a lawyer's paradise.
Yeah. So are they saying they're going to amend this Family Law Act? Will that then override state definitions? Will that just be a blanket, okay, this is what's going to happen for same-sex couples, and this is going to be, you know, how it'll be from now on?
No, there's not the ability for them to override some federal law, a state law, but for the purposes of federal law, they may go a little further than some states and a little less than other states, or dead bang on where some states are, because those states aren't consistent. And this is where the Standing Committee of Attorney Generals is working towards getting consistency in this area in the next couple of years.
So what happens if the couple involved are two men? What happens with who in terms of the which parent or which partner gets the custody of the child then?
Well, obviously, that's a decision for the family court in the individual case as to who it is. It's no automatic.
So it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, as it is with two co-mothers. Just because one's biologically related and one's not, that doesn't mean that one's lesser than the other. It's what's in the best interest of the child and the situation for that individual case.
So when it's two men, does the biological connection or lack of biological connection between the child and the parent matter? Because you could have a situation where there are two gay men and the child isn't biologically related to either.
Look, that'd be pretty marginal, though, Doug, wouldn't you think?
It is.
Well, I don't know.
I guess you look at all spheres of things.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of adoptions could possibly go through, which would result in that situation.
Rather than surrogacy, okay, yep.
Rather than surrogacy.
Yeah. And adoption's already got the current laws, and I'm not across all of that. I've only had 3.5 hours to get my head wrapped around a very complex piece of legislation amendment.
Come on.
But more importantly, 68 other pieces of laws are coming up for debate, that will... remove most of the Herriok recommendations that haven't been done through the super law. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see how people react to those bills in the light of today's announcement.
So with these amendments going through or being discussed about going through, are there any ifs or conditions or anything like that attached to that?
Define what you mean.
Well, you know, they'll remove some discrimination, but sometimes it'll be, but... you know, there's going to be this left in or this because of this.
Well, today's announcement about parenting is an equal move, so there won't be discrimination in the Family Law Act in that respect. Mm-hmm. It will be dependent on what they do with the other bills as to whether they reference the definition of the Family Law Act or whether they keep a separate definition. If they reference the Family Law Act, then it'll be treating equally as it's defined in the Family Law Act. If it's not referencing the Family Law Act, then, you know, it depends on what the definition comes.
I'm getting lost in the midst of all this, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're interesting me because you're talking about definitions, and, of course, Malcolm Turnbull made a mention of this when he was being interviewed by Kerry O'Brien the other day. He gave a kind of blanket, yes, I'm in favour of same-sex couple equality kind of thing, and then he went on to talk about drafting and definitions and words and things. I mean, this is a bit of a problem in Canberra, isn't it? Because there's been all these arguments about what constitutes a couple and why, you know, should we differentiate between de facto couples, same-sex couples and married couples, or should we just talk about couples?
Interdependent couples.
Well, they got thrown into the mix as well.
Look, I think that the key message you need to take away from Malcolm...
But could that derail this?
Yeah, let me come to that in a sec. The key message to take away from Malcolm on the 7:30 report was that when he was asked, do you have the support of your party room, he said the words, absolutely. Now, that means that whilst, yes, there is issues of interdependency definitions, marriage, etc., and that it could come along and actually delay it a little bit during the debate. He's come out and said, absolutely, we're going to get behind this. Brandis has come out, the Shadow Attorney General, saying this will get through no matter what. I'm hearing senators from the opposition who are prepared to cross the floor if it comes to it, but I don't think it will. You know, with the elevation of Malcolm Turnbull and his obvious support for the community, I think a lot of people within the Liberal Party are reconsidering how far they want to push for this discrimination to be remained.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the transcript of that Kerry O'Brien interview, and yes, he did say the shadow cabinet, the party room, supports ending discrimination against same-sex couples. Kerry O'Brien said, do you feel you have the full support of your party? He said, absolutely. And then he went on to say, there are issues about drafting and language.
But sure.
He said the principle of ending discrimination is a given. And then he went on to all this stuff about marriage that we've been hearing from Kevin Rudd and everybody else.
Correct. And yesterday in the House of Reps in the main committee, there was somebody talking about the Migration Act discriminating, potentially attacking the Institute of Marriage because there's a section in there that allows a certain act to be prescribed, how we deal with overseas marriages. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be these technical things that need to be worked through. The fact that they're coming out not saying the words in principle anymore is important to note. They're saying absolutely they're behind it. It'll just be navigating down the path now rather than having to cut down the jungle to get through that path.
I hope you're right.
So do I.
Because it's taken a hell of a long time to get this far through the jungle. Now, before we move on to our next topic, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Ken Campagnolo case, which got, unfortunately, thrown out from VCAT. Ken Campagnolo, as you may remember, is the bisexual footy trainer from Bonnie Doon Football Club, who has actually taken a series of cases to the Civil and Administrative Tribunal. They've been centred around the claims that he's been discriminated against on the grounds of his sexuality. Now, he took a case to every level of football. So there was the Victorian Country Football League, the Victorian Football League, the football club, the individual football club, and also the AFL. Now, what's happened with this case is that the AFL case has come to an end because the presiding member said they couldn't see a line of control going from the AFL to Bonnie Doon Football Club. That was the argument the AFL had.
In the structure of the organisation.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though the AFL claims to be able to override everything else that happens underneath it, in this particular case they claimed they were powerless and therefore they've got off the hook. That does not mean, however, that the rest of the cases die. The VCFL, the VFL and the BDFC.
Well, how many cases does he have?
Oh, numberless to count.
Right. So it's not, so he's struck out at the top and then he's still got other,
but the other stuff is still going forward, and I just wanted, the reporting on that was very kind of, you know, loses his case as though it was all over.
And we kind of need that Erin Brockovich one piece of paper that links the head office to the subordinate local office.
Yeah, and then there'll be a class action of bisexual football trainers out there who will just come through, and you know, it'll be a momentous upheaval.
I think this is one of those technical legal things, Doug, that yes, there's probably not the legal structure of it, but the point here, whilst it's important to sue legally, is there's also a need for the AFL to take some responsibility on social aspects.
Yes, indeed. And because that's the whole point of this exercise, at the end of the day. I mean, we're not really concerned about, I mean, we are concerned about Ken, obviously, but there's a much wider issue there, which goes back to the situation in country football clubs and the homophobia that's around in football generally, and how the AFL refuses to see it or address it. And I think that's what this thing is all about.
Doug, I mean, what can we do? What can grassroots people do? I mean, obviously, Ken's taking it to this tribunal. He's trying to, you know, get people to stand up and take notice. We've had Rob Mitchell doing extraordinary things with meetings. You know, what can ordinary people do from here?
I'd like to see people start writing to the Minister of Sport saying this is outrageous.
Right, okay. Letter writing campaign.
Yep.
Yeah, well, for example, the Australian Institute Support for Sport provides the AFL with almost $500,000 a year to improve the game at the grassroots level and to for inclusiveness and all these other nice things that they're supposed to do. We want to know what the AFL are doing with that money. So write to the Minister for Sport and say you want her to audit what the AFL actually does with that $500,000, because they're obviously not doing anything to be inclusive towards gays and lesbians and transgender people.
Right.
That's one thing that can be done.
Mm. Maybe I should see if she's in her office when I'm up in Canberra next week.
Yeah, knock on the door. Knock on
there
the door.
There you go. Now Corey's going to be a personal advocate. We might all write letters.
Yes, if you want to leave some letters here at Joy for him to take up, I'm sure.
or email onair@joy.org.au and they'll forward it on to me.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
It always seemed something of a brave venture to have a gay festival in a tiny Victorian town like Yakandanda, of all places. And this week it did look for a while, according to at least one story, as if this experiment was over. The ABC and the Border Mail, I think, reported that it was finished. But that's not quite the case. And we have organiser Gary Hayward, otherwise known as Gaz, on the line to tell us all about it. Good evening, Gaz.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh,
so,
good.
How are you? It's more to the point.
Oh, well, look, you know, still getting over the some of the crap that goes on when you run a festival. you know, some of the media really push things, I guess, to the max.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know really what to say, and I don't really want to say too much, because lots of great things happened, you know. Lots of fantastic things happened. You're going to get homophobia everywhere.
This is true. There's been enough of it for you. I mean, how long have you been doing for this festival? Four years?
Okay, this is the fourth festival that Andy and I have both organised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a big job. You know, you've got to get everything happening and the amount of hours, and as you know, all of our festivals first of all, is, you know, you volunteer a lot of your time.
Yeah, did you have very much other volunteer support to keep, you know, to help you, to spread the load, shall we say?
No, just the two of us. And we tried to run our shop as well and tried to run everything else. And I think, look, we were wrapped at what we were able to do with the Tibetan monks making history. I had a first opening a gay event with a dance, traditional dances. And, you know, all that was fantastic. The Tibetan monks, they were amazing. They're so kind. You know, they just, you know, are kind to everyone. And when I first asked them to come to the gay festival, they just said, yeah, we're all sentient beings. They don't judge. Just so nice. And it'd be, homophobia would be stamped out if we could all just be kind to each other.
Gary, it's Scott here. I had a bit of a chat with you at the Star Hotel on the Saturday night. I have to say that my experience, which is the first time that I've been up there, the place that we stayed in Beechworth, the shopkeepers, the taxi driver, the bus driver, and everyone else that I had a chance to speak with at the time have all said just what a great feeling it is.
Look, it is absolutely wonderful, but no one actually knows what we are put through behind the lines to keep this festival going.
Basically, it's gotten a bit too much for you, so maybe you shut your mouth off a bit too much to the newspaper, huh?
And no, but the newspaper caught me at the wrong time. I mean, you know, they rang me up, and it was a few days after the festival, you know, and I said, look, yeah, you know, we do have, there is some homophobia problems in this town. They don't come out when the gay people are here, but they give you grief beforehand, and they give you a bit of grief afterhand, and so you just, and when you're exhausted, the news has rang me up and I said, well, look, I don't really want to talk to you right now. We don't really want to organise another festival. We have a few problems underlined.
Gary, it's Corey Allen from the Australian Coalition for Equality here. I was really pleased actually to see that the mayor came out in support for you doing it again. Are you in a position now to confirm whether there'll be one next year or not?
The mayor is wonderful to come out there and welcome everyone. But Andy and I mean, you know, we were given a bit of grief by gay people this year as well.
So is that a yes, or is there going to be one next year? Because I know this same issue happened up in Daylesford with people not being able to get behind it, and maybe, you know, if it's time and effort, maybe the council, who's getting a lot of money out of this, should be behind it and actually giving you a bit of hand. If he's going to come out and support, put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
Well, you've handed the festival over to the local tourist authority, haven't you?
Well, what the Tourist Association said when it's all come out in the news and it was all going crazy and we didn't answer the phone for days, we just, our president of the Tourist Association said, look, Gary, we'd like to keep this going. I said, okay, if you want to keep it going,
fine. There you are, you run it.
You run it.
Yeah.
So had they committed to run it yet, Gary?
We have to have a meeting about that. The president went to all the business people in town and everyone wants to keep it going because we have nothing else.
Yeah. You know. And it did bring a fair bit of money into the town, didn't it?
My word, it did. And we've had gay people buy properties here.
Yeah.
So that adds to the amount of money that's coming to your community. There were gay people looking for properties who were now up here last time. You know, you'll get someone come along and go, oh, we don't want to be like Daylesford, and you just go, oh, for God's sake, you know. Oh, Jesus.
We don't want you to be like Daylesford either.
I know.
One's enough.
What's that, successful?
I just wish you could go to Beechworth and run a party inside the old jail where Ned Kelly was, because I've been in there a couple of times, and I reckon that would be an awesome place for
you. Wouldn't it be amazing? Will you come up and run
tiny
it?
Bit small.
Look, I'm an ex-events manager. I might be prepared to do that if we can get over the heritage listing and you've got the backing of the council.
You'd have a great time in the jail with an outlaw theme that kind of works in, really.
And maybe
it?
Some people in Melbourne should put their money where their mouth is and actually give these guys a hand.
After the leather scene comes the iron scene.
So, Gary, it seems as though you've just basically just had a gutful and decided that, you know, this year is just not the year for you to be continually involved in for one of, you know, several reasons.
And fair enough.
Well, look, what happened was this year we took on the Tibetan Monks Peace Tour. So Andy and I organised a tour of the northeast of Victoria.
Right.
The monks were, as I said, absolutely amazing. And then back onto that, we had spring migration. So the thousands of hours of time and, you know, the 8 months of work. I think, you know, what got to us, yes, was a few problems that I don't want to talk about just yet. You know, when you get a few gay people complaining as well, just think, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah. And look, you're always going to get a bitching Gary. Well, I just want to say thank you for putting in there and putting up with it for 4 years, because it wouldn't be the first year you've got it, but maybe this is the first year that's been reported you had enough just directly after.
Yeah,
I know. I've got to say firsthand.
And that's the trouble. When the press ring you and you're still down and you think, God, what happened? You know, so many great things happened. Why do we have, you know, a handful of people whinging and complaining when we've put our heart and soul into this? And this is the first year that I think we've had complaints.
Yeah. Well, I can say firsthand, Gary, that I was there and I had a great time. It was very well organised. It was a fantastic weekend.
So there you are. Pat on the back all round from us anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a good rest. Maybe you'll feel like, you know, pulling on the frock and doing it again next year after all. All right. Thanks very much for that, Gary.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
That was
Gary Hayward there from Bears Old Wares in Yakandanda, sentencing himself to 4 years of doing a festival with just the two of them. I think that's quite an achievement.
And as you will all know in the media, the moral to this story is be careful when you're talking to a reporter when you're tired and pissed off.
Yeah. Or pissed.
Unhappy, maybe.
Well, it sounds as though, I mean, you know, Doug will be able to say, you know, and share firsthand what it's like to organise an event like Chill Out. I mean, you know, the spring migration has really just been a two-man show in a lot of ways, isn't it, with those guys? People organise to get marketing involved, to get, you know, people from Melbourne to come up there, to get local, the local community
behind it. And there's more to it than just the festival. There's everything that they organise for people living outside of Yakandanda, or for staying outside. They organise a shuttle bus for everyone who was there when they wanted. 1 o'clock in the morning, he was there picking you up.
You have to have that as well, because last year, I remember, when at BNews, we were doing a lot of PR for it, and they were selling out. Like, accommodation was done. Like, the town was done. You couldn't stay within 20, 30 minutes of the town.
Yep.
Well, this is one of the problems they had at Yakandanda, though. I mean, one of the things he didn't want to get into. They've had an accommodation problem there, because there's a couple of motels there that are owned by members of a rather extreme Christian sect.
Exclusive brethren are everywhere then, Doug.
No, they're not exclusive brethren in this particular case, but those two hoteliers, including the biggest motel in town, refused to book anybody in over the spring migration weekend, which took about 80 beds out of the local supply, which made life particularly difficult.
Maybe we should the homophobes down to the
It's not a very nice looking motel anyway. I don't think anybody missed out.
Yes, and there was also...
Yeah, no one wanted to stay there anyway, so nerves.
Do you think it's
linked to that motel?
And there was also a certain amount of problem with one particular local policeman, and they've had that year after year, who gets a bit kind of officious and breathalyzes everybody inside.
He was outside on the main street Saturday night.
Breathalyzing people on the street?
Really? Who are walking?
Who are walking.
No, driving. Oh, right. Like the bus drivers and so on.
Of course, apparently he doesn't do that on the weekends when all his bikey mates come to town. Exactly. It looks like the festival will continue on. I mean, as with Daylesford taking a year off with Chill Out that time, you know, when the traders have had that income coming in over a weekend and it suddenly disappears, it does rather concentrate the mind somewhat wonderfully.
Yep.
And
nothing like a bit of economics to just stir the moral fibre.
The pink dollar does actually work, folks. You know.
Well, it certainly does. An example of that, the local taxi driver refused to work that weekend because he's homophobic, yet he rented his car out to someone to take the money for people who wanted to use the service.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au.
Now, it's time to wing our way across the country to Western Australia. The election of a minority Liberal government over there has got a few people a little bit rattled, because in the past, the Liberals had threatened to roll back gay law reform in that state. And some of the new MPs that we've got in over there are not exactly gay-friendly. Joining us on the line now, we have former Democrat Senator Brian Gregg, who's been keeping an eye on these things for us. Good evening, Brian.
G'day, folks. How are you going?
We're going well.
Good.
Now, tell us all about this. Not happening rollback? Happening rollback? What's going on?
Well, we have an interesting situation, guys. We, as you'd be aware, we had until recently a hung parliament, so to speak, where neither the Labor nor Liberal parties had a majority in their own right, and so an accord was struck with a small number of successful national MPs with the Liberal opposition, and we now have, as of next week, when they're sworn in, a Liberal national minority government. And while historically that would be a very worrisome thing for the lesbian and gay community in Perth, it's not this time round, because the new Liberal leader is a genuine small L Liberal. He has no homophobic baggage. If anything, he's done more to reach out to the gay and lesbian community than any of his predecessors. Likewise, the leader of the National Party is a relatively young fellow in his 30s, socially progressive, and both men, both Brendan Grylls from the Nationals and Colin Barnett from the Liberal Party, are very clearly and strongly on the public record going through the recent campaign stating there will be no rollback.
The Nationals, in fact, made a commitment to same-sex relationship recognition a while back, didn't they?
They did. Surprisingly, and something we welcomed was as part of their policy position. Not a strong policy, it must be said, but they were relatively supportive of civil unions. They've said, yes, they're open to those. And so, too, has the incoming Liberal Attorney General. Again, a fresh face, only been in Parliament a short time from a recent by-election.
Brian, can I just clarify, civil unions or registers?
No, civil unions. Civil unions. Now, it might be said that there is perhaps some confusion amongst the Liberal and Nationals as to the differences between a civil union and a registration, but I wonder, in fact, if that confusion isn't shared within our own community at times. But perhaps we could probably safely say more broadly, they're open to the possibility or future legislation to officially recognise in some way same-sex partnerships.
I think you're right. I mean, we all get very hung up on these definitions and we don't always know what they all are.
Brian, Corey, what can you tell us about the makeup of the upper house? Obviously, you had a surrogacy bill that was sitting there ready to go that was having a bit of problems getting through the upper house. That bill, I understand, can come back in to go through. Do you think it will succeed or do you reckon it will be pulled back and not be able to get through?
Look, it's just not clear at this stage. The existing upper house is in the hands of Independents and Greens, and that will stay in place until May of next year when the new suite of legislative councillors come in. We don't yet know, because counting is still continuing, and you'd be aware how complicated and tricky the preferential voting system gets, particularly in the upper house. They're still going through the mathematical machinations of that. We don't yet know what the colour of the upper house will be. Indications are that it may be in Conservative hands. If not, then we don't quite know where it will lie. But it looks like there'll be at least four Greens, so they've doubled their number from 2 to 4, but they may not be in a position of holding balance of power. So at this stage, it's unclear.
Any movement on the issue of trans rights? Because they tend to get forgotten in the midst of all this. I've seen that Christian Porter, was the Shadow Attorney
General. Incoming AG, yes.
Said he was aware of the Hurriok report, but said it was more of a federal than a state issue. So,
well, to be fair to Christian, he probably said that because he wasn't across the issues. And
that's what
probably,
it sounds like, yeah.
And probably because his party doesn't have any position on it. I mean, the Liberal Party historically have never been particularly good at researching these things. I feel slightly more optimistic under Premier-elect Barnett. But the other factor, of course, is that Barnett needs to balance his social policies with his new backbench. We have three new members of Parliament coming in, two of whom are pastors in Pentecostal churches, one of whom has spoken at anti-gay rallies. He's the brother of Federal Senator Eric Abetz from Tasmania. Erica Abetz, and he's also been a representative for the Festival
of Light.
Don't
be sexist, boys. Don't be sexist. You should know that the drag name for any man called Eric is not Erica, but Heather.
I'm just reporting what the ABC says. Erica Abetz. At least it's not Guy Barnett's brother.
Yes. So this could prove a little troublesome if they decide to get vocal.
Look, it may do, but I suspect Barnett is in a position to keep them at bay simply because government is going to be difficult and fragile. He only holds power by one seat and he's working with a minority government, with the Nationals. I can't see him in any significant way wanting to pander to the religious right. Having said that, he did go to the polls with a couple of policies which will make them very happy, and he clearly has a mandate to carry them out. One is to wind back Australia's prostitution, liberalised prostitution laws. He can and I think will do that. And the second one is to wind back WA's liberalised cannabis laws. He can and I think will do that. Those things, I think, will make the religious right happy, and as a consequence, they won't be barking at the heels of winding back gay law reform. But my experience is that the religious right is insatiable in their demands. They're driven by God, and they're not. It's not all over until we're all living under a theocracy.
And I have a mandate that Dolly Parton said, so, you know, I can live just as well. Brian, we were talking before about festivals. How are you guys shaping up for Pride?
Look, I have to be honest and say I really don't know. I haven't had any great involvement with Pride for some time. I know that last year they were troubled. They were low on money, if not in deficit, and they were concerned about a lack of general participation. I understand things turned out okay in the end. But it's been interesting to
observe... They had a financial backer there, didn't they?
Yeah,
that came
didn't
out
they
and said...
They got a big donation to
they
get
said,
them
I'm
out
gonna
of the
I'm going to loan
red.
This to you for 40 years if it takes until you get back in the black and then you can turn it back to me.
So they're back on, it's like 30 grand.
You have me at a disadvantage. I'm really not aware of that.
You're not going to be wearing leather chaps walking down the march, Brian?
No, I don't think so.
Had to think about that.
But it's been interesting, and I don't know whether this has been experienced nationwide, but in the last few years, let's just say the 4, 5, 6 years, because social attitudes and community attitudes have changed so much and in a positive way, and because law reform, particularly in WA and Tassie, has been so comprehensive and now clearly cemented, there is less participation in gay community events. The ghetto has been shattered. We now find that gay and lesbian people don't need, particularly younger people, don't need to identify particularly with gay groups or gay events. So in that sense, we've been a victim of our own success. Having said that, I still think there's good reason to have a party. And I think Pride is a good beacon for a lot of young people. It's often their first visual point of contact. But having said that, with the community, if they're closeted, having said that, I think the internet has also changed that radically too.
We were talking earlier on to the people at Spring Migration up in Yarkandanda, and they seem to have done reasonably well there. Chill out in Daylesford, as I have reason to know, does pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the big city things that are beginning to fall over.
Yeah, it may be, and I wonder too, because I now work in the property sector. I advocate for the Real Estate Institute of WA, and so I now have an interest in that area, and I'm finding that in Perth, where house prices have increased so much, it means that living in the inner city or renting in the inner city is no longer affordable or accessible for many people.
Yeah.
And that's also had an impact on whereas once you would find a strong gay and lesbian community in the inner city, you don't anymore.
Mm.
And I think that's also a part of the demographic changes and cultural changes we're experiencing in Perth.
Brian, yes. Before we let you go, we've got about 30 seconds left. Do you have anything that Tibbetts, having been a former senator, about how this is going to play out with the federal law reform? Do you reckon we're going to have a Senate block? Will Xenophon protect us? Will Family First come along and actually support same-sex relationships?
Family First will never do that. Steve Fielding will wring his hands for hours and then say, I cannot, much like Harrodine did on the GST. That's exactly what he will do. Xenophon appears to be on side. I think it really comes down to Turnbull, and I think it's good that he's now leader in terms of this issue, not just because of the large pink constituency in Wentworth, but I think he's more personally committed to this.
But what about Nick Minchin? Nick Minchin's one of the most conservative members of the Liberal Party, and he leads the opposition in the Senate. How's that going to play out?
Well, it does at the moment.
But it doesn't come down, the caucus vote doesn't, and direction doesn't come down to the leader of the Senate, but to their caucus as a whole, and that'll be dominated, I would think, by Turnbull, who made some strong commentary about this on the 7:30 report the other day.
Yeah.
Having said that, he did qualify by muttering about, you know, it depends on language and definitions and who knows what that means.
Yeah, for once it was someone who sounded more uncomfortable talking about the excuses than they did about talking about the principle. It's been the other way around up to now.
Yeah, indeed. I also have some faith and confidence in federal shadow attorney George Brandis, who, in my experience as a former colleague, is quite reasonable and passionate on the issue.
Yeah, we interviewed him on this program some little while ago when the obstructions first started getting thrown up, and he personally was extremely, extremely reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for that, Brian. It's good to hear you back on the show again. Now that you're not a senator, we don't hear from you often enough.
Ah, well, give me a call.
Okay, we will do. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys.
That was former Democrat Senator Brian Gregg over in Perth. One of the things he said to me off air before we went to air was that he said, how long is it since you were over in Perth? The place has changed out of all recognition. And I suppose being in the real estate industry, he'd have noticed that more than most. But they've had a real boom, haven't they, that's cleaned out the inner city completely.
It's amazing. Like, the amount of money that's in WA is just outstanding.
Mm,
And certainly, certainly its gay scene is fairly vibrant.
Yep.
I from the 6-hour stopover.
A friend told me the busiest night in Perth is on a Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Okay. All right. You're listening to The Rainbow Report.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Keeping the GLBTI community up to date, this is the Rainbow Report.
And this is your host, Doug Pollard, with me in the studio, Scott Bradford, Cathy Anderson, and Corey Earlham, if I remember the name right.
Thank you, Doug.
You're more than welcome. Got a caller who rang in, Brad. He said, as an organiser of a gay and lesbian event, a similar event to the one in Yakandanda, he feels that the gay community can be too quick to criticise, and he applauds Gary for his input and commitment.
Yeah, good on you. That's, you know, something we rarely say, is that sometimes we're just way too critical of our own organisations and our own, you know, festivals and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
what's life if you can't have a good win?
To put a positive spin on things and say, isn't it great that we all get together and it's all fine and wonderful? But honestly, the people that organise these things, like, my heart goes out to people, and I'm just not brave enough to do it because, you know, people give you shit about things. Yeah, like, it's not good enough. I don't like it was too expensive, or it was this, or it was that. You know, like,
I agree with the principle that people who volunteer their time. I agree with people the principle that they volunteer their time, they should be respected. But legitimately, some events are shit. And some events deserve to be bagged out. So it's got to be a bit of balance. Dale's not one of them, Doug.
No, I'm not saying it is.
You've got to give credit where credit's due, and correct. I get that. And people do donate a lot of their time.
Don't bag out the person, bag out the event.
But just because something is community is not an excuse for low standards.
No, I agree.
A lot of people do things and label it. You know, well, you've got to accept lower standards because it's a community event. I don't buy that.
Well, no, that means that you've got the wrong people organising it that aren't professionals.
Yes.
And if you are going to bag an event, make sure you've got something to put forward as a recommendation. Otherwise, just shut up.
Enough. Okay. Otherwise, we will never get up to New South Wales, which is where we've got to get
to now.
That's
never a problem.
There's heaps of things going on up there, too. You could say the cup of news is full, so we'll take a good long slurp of it now. On the line, we've got Sydney Star Observer reporter Harley Dennett. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, Harley.
That's okay. Very good evening to you, Dirk.
So, Clover Moore's back in town.
For another 4 years, she romped home with 56% of the vote, going up against Labor, Liberal and the Greens. So I think it's safe to say that she'll have a complete dominance over the city politics for the next 4 years.
Certainly sounds like it. What did you call her in your notes you gave me? Sydney's favourite fag hag. So she's a friend of ours, definitely, then.
I'm going to get in trouble for calling her that.
Gay issues actually played a major role in this election.
The only issue in this election. Mm-hmm. It was homophobic violence, violence in general, cleaning up the streets from alcohol-related problems. There was a couple of the newspapers tried to make a bit of an issue out of parking fines, but that died within 1 day, and it was just back to homophobic violence again. All the candidates came forward and made their major pitches on what they were going to do about cleaning up the problems on Sydney streets.
And, of course, we had a major example of that, didn't we? You had some more violence on Oxford Street. There's a man in a coma after the weekend.
Yes, I should preface that I'm not sure that this is necessarily homophobic, but it's right in the middle of Sydney's gay heart on Oxford Street. Another bashing. It wasn't the only one that evening. It wasn't there was more throughout that weekend. Mm. But one young man, is in St Vincent's Hospital now with an induced coma after being bashed out the front of a fast food outlet from a man who pulled up, started throwing insults, and just bashed him into the ground.
Sounds kind of King Street-ish, doesn't it?
Yeah, but Harley, I just want to take you back and link these two together. You can't tell me that people elected Clover Moore because she wants to stick a no homophobia sticker outside every venue, and that's going to prevent a guy getting bashed up.
I'm not sure that anybody has a solution to this.
Yeah.
And none of the candidates who put forward their plans, and they range from using city rangers to patrol areas in place of, or sometimes with police officers, to homophobia-free stickers everywhere. I'm not sure that any of these things are concrete enough to do anything, and I'm not sure that they're suggesting that it is. Perhaps they're thinking that this can be part of a solution to creating the impression of a safer environment in conjunction with all the other things that the city does, including CCTV footage, so that this could help. Yeah. And at the moment, the community is pretty much willing to accept anything. In fact, ACON President Mark Orr, that's the AIDS Council of New South Wales, frustrated by the fact that nothing seems to be working, is now talking about maybe the fast food outlets that are open late at night are part of the problem because they're keeping people in the area later than they would normally. People can go and feel like they're sober up because they can go get a burger somewhere, and then they keep drinking and they stay in the area till 3, 4.
What happened about taking responsibility for your own actions? Don't blame the traders because they want to make a dollar. Blame the people who are actually going out there getting drunk and committing the crime.
That's certainly true.
I think Carly's right in saying that this isn't a silver bullet solution. And while you've got certain traders there that are attracting a certain kind of clientele that need to be educated, you're never going to have one thing that's actually going to fix it. But the point is they're looking at it and they're doing something about it, and to be commended for doing it.
Yeah,
and at least it is a topic of discussion, and it was an issue in the election, which is quite amazing.
I'm not sure it was a vote swinger, though.
Not necessarily, but I mean... You know,
it's hard to tell what swung the vote this time, because that's the only issue anyone was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Harley...
You can't tell me Clover got elected on a homophobic sticker.
From your perspective, Harley, what do you think... what influence do you think gay voters actually had in this election?
Probably not much. I mean, sure, there's lots of gay people in Sydney, but and Clover is very closely associated with the gays. Mm-hmm. But it seems far more likely that the problems of the New South Wales state government, the fact that there's been a leadership overhaul, there was a minister sacked after 3 days, that wasn't the driving force behind Clover's huge swing.
So could it be? Could we call Clover's election, you know, Undygate?
Don't get into that. I mean,
you're not talking about St Kilda
Pub. No.
But I mean, but Harley raises a good point. There's it's certainly been reported in the media that this selection of Clover was a backlash against the Labor state government.
Well, it's certainly possible. I wouldn't be too sure that this man from Undygate won't be back at some point in the future. I mean, politicians seem to cycle round. I've just heard that Troy Buswell, our chair-sniffing friend over in WA, is back as the new new state treasurer over there.
So he can go sniff how
so he can
money.
Go around sniffing more chairs and snapping more bra straps. So, you know, it's not the end of the world dancing on your assistant in your underpants, it would appear. Now, talking about politicians who are close to the gay community, obviously Malcolm Turnbull's on everybody's mind. Have you managed to speak to Malcolm Turnbull since he took over the leadership?
I personally haven't, but he has, our Malcolm, has managed to spend a little bit of time...
Big Mal.
Our Mal. No, he doesn't like Mal, it's Malcolm. He spent some time with the Wentworth Courier, that's the local publication down here, talking about gays.
Uh-huh. And what did he have to say?
That he loves us. He still does. The romance has not dwindled.
It's because we live in rented flats.
And yet, there's no risk to his seat anymore. He could not possibly lose Wentworth at the next election after he picked up the vote this time around.
Corey doesn't look too sure about that.
If he can out John Howard, if he crosses us, let me tell you, I think we can cause a campaign to make him worried, and I think he knows that.
Did he say anything, Harley, in the interview about, you know, law reform or his commitment to equality or same-sex rights?
He has reaffirmed his personal belief, which was the same commitment that he gave to us, to the gay community, to his local electorate before the election. And it was so carefully worded so as to not imply that it was the Liberal Party supporting this, but him personally.
I might just read out his quote here. In September, he said, talking about same-sex law reform, "I have sought to address and overcome this discrimination. I pledge to continue this fight until justice is done." Did he say he'll make justice be done?
This time around, he hasn't repeated that quote. But from what he has said, from the 7:30 report line, where he did seem quite embarrassed by the fact that he had to qualify his own commitment, it seems to me that he's just working on building up his party support. And certainly from what he has publicly said, his personal commitment remains as strong as before.
Okay, now you've also said to me that Shadow Attorney General George Brandis, you've spoken to him, And he's reaffirmed his personal commitment to pass these same-sex equality reforms.
Not just his personal commitment, the party's commitment to pass it.
Yeah, now the phrase you used was, no matter what.
Yes.
Does that mean that they're going to drop all this nitpicking nonsense about what is and isn't a couple and so on and so forth?
No, they're not going to drop it. They're still going to try and they're still going to try and make their amendments, and they're still going to try and introduce interdependency. There's no doubt about that. But if it doesn't work, if that doesn't receive the support of Steve Fielding, of the government, I suppose, would have to in the lower house, if it doesn't receive that support, they'll still support the reforms as a whole because, in his words, this is a matter of principle and they will not let down same-sex couples or their children.
Let's see if we can manage to hold them to that because everyone's going to be watching that very, very closely.
I tend to think this is more a matter of timing, how long this will take, because from what he said, it will happen. Just a matter of how much it includes and when it will happen.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
It was a pleasure.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. Or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Informing, entertaining and provoking. This is The Rainbow Report.
Indeed it is, and the Rainbow Report wouldn't be complete without a look beneath the bonnet. Please welcome Miss Kay Sarah with her own special look at the elevation of Big Malcolm to the Liberal leadership.
I don't know what came over me. Purely out of curiosity, I googled Malcolm Turnbull, you know, the new Liberal leader, and lo and behold, I ended up bang smack in the thick of his website. Then before I knew it, I'd signed his guestbook, given my email address, and pledged not to delete any of his propaganda without at least reading it first. Amazing what a virile man with a bank balance will do for your electoral dysfunction. There's another virile man in town this week. He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he's got a thing for tattoos. No, not Ben Cousins. It's that grand dame of rock and roll kink, Frankenfurter. He's strutting his stuff again in the Rocky Horror Picture Show revival. I only bring this up because, as we all know, conservative politicians have a thing for kinky. There was Alexander Downer's infinite foray into fishnets and heels further back, and dear Malcolm Fraser was caught with his pants down in a foreign country. And then, of course, there was John Howard. Well, he married Janet and is destined to spend the better part of his days in tracky dacks watching cricket. Wonder what intriguing fetish Mr. Turnbull will serve up. Chair sniffing is taken. Brass snapping is gone, as is a jolly good rogering on the backbenches. Whoops, I promise not to say a word. Sorry, Peter, I'll make it up to you. Anyone that thinks my ramblings on the hanky-panky in the big house in Canberra are pure fantasy need only read Peter Blazy's autobiography, Screw Loose. Peter is Henry Bolte's biographer, and he spent many years in Canberra working as Andrew Peacock's media advisor and hobnobbing with the political elite. One wild party he mentions in Screw Loose featured infamous drag queen Doris Fish in an episode of simulated onstage copulation. Good grief! You'd need to be on some amazing mind-bending substance to appreciate a performance like that. And if Peter Blazy's recollections are to be believed, many of the audience members were. Sadly, Peter is no longer with us, no thanks to the ravages of HIV/AIDS. But activists today can learn a whole lot from his life. Not so much with the mind-altering substances or the sex, although, let's face it, for some soapbox wannabes, either wouldn't hurt. But rather in playing both sides of the political divide. Peter may have come from a life of privilege and ended up working in the conservative ranks, but deep down he was a big old lefty. In fact, he relates some very funny stories about Gough and Margaret Whitlam, both of whom were far more socially progressive than any of our leaders today. Margaret, if you're listening, I will return that quiche platter next time I'm in town. But back to Malcolm Turnbull. Yes, he sits on the dark side of the house, but judging from past comments, he would seem to be far more open to same-sex law reform than King Kevin. Now, I'm not saying I'm prepared to throw away my red flag. God forbid. But let's face it, the more vocal Malcolm is about same-sex equality, the more pressure on the conservative folk in the ALP, of which it would seem there are many. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a date with a man who has a thing for fishnets, stilettos and tattoos. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'm Kay Sarar, and like my friend Frankenfurter said...
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Well, unfortunately, that's it for this week. My thanks to my guests tonight, Kathy Anderson, Scott Bradford, Corey Earl and Brian Gregg, Gary Haywood and Harley Dennett. Don't forget, you can access podcasts of the programme at joy.org.au and the blog at rainbowreporter.com. Thanks also to producer Bianca Johnston, technical producer Travis. And I'll be back next week with another edition of The Rainbow Report.
This has been a Joy 94.9 news and current affairs presentation.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.